Welcome to the Citygate Church podcast. Today's message was recorded at our live Sunday services, and we hope that it encourages you to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference.
So we're going to read Isaiah 54 from verses 1 and all the way down to sort of verse 6. Let's pray, shall we? You know, God's word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. God's word is spirit and truth. God and his word are one. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And then that word became flesh, which is Jesus Christ. But the word of God is not just a history lesson. It's not just some information about God. The word itself is God. So when God's word is spoken, God is revealed. And God moves and God speaks. And when we receive that word by faith, then that word can become flesh in us and through us. We don't just hear it, we do it. Therefore, we live in what the word is declaring the word can do. So it's really important, you know, how we receive God's word, whether it's every day, whether it's here on a Sunday, whether it's hearing somebody else speak, a sermon, whether it's in your own time and you're speaking the word to yourself. I'd like to encourage people to speak the word to themselves. I know a lot of people would open their Bible and just read. Well, that's good. That's a good start. But it's far more powerful, and in actual fact, the word was meant to be read out loud, not just read in silence. There is a declaring of the word, which is what the word was meant to be for. Not to just, you know, silently read like you're reading a novel, but you declare it out and the word comes to pass. So Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power in and of your word, that you uphold all things by the word of your power. Lord, you sent your word and healed. The centurion just said, just speak a word only. Lord, when they found the book of the law, Ezra stood up and read from the word. Father, we thank you, God, that as the word was declared on the cursing mountain, over on the empowering a mountain, Lord God, the mountain declaring the blessing of God, that word came to pass. So Father, we open our hearts today with, Lord, humility and faith to receive the word of God into our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. So Isaiah 54, from verse 1, sing, O barren, you who have not born, break forth into singing. I just think that's a great thing to do, to break forth, which speaks of passion and purpose. Not a casual singing, but like a, yeah, let's do this. Yeah. You who've not had children, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, amen? Amen? Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand. Have you got your catchers out today, yeah? You shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations. They will. They will. The things you believe God for your descendants, your children and your children's children, if the Lord tarries, they will inherit it. They will in Jesus' name. The devil's a liar and the devil's a thief. You can stand on the promises of God. Oh, but it doesn't look like it right now. Well, we're not moved by what we see. We're moved by the Word of God and what we believe. Verse 4, do not fear. You will not be ashamed, neither will you be disgraced. For you will not be put to shame. You will forget the shame of your youth. Oh, I'd like to spend a Sunday on that. It's important, the things that you forget and the things you remember. Sometimes people remember the wrong things and forget the right things. The Word of God says, forget not all the benefits of God. A lot of Christians forget that they're healed. You know, they forget all their needs are met. They forget that all their sins and iniquities are forgiven and washed away. They live as though they are remembering all of the stuff that they should have forgotten, and they live forgetting the things that they should be remembering. So just make sure your remembering and your forgetting is around the right way. Really important. Always remember Christ Jesus raised from the dead. That doesn't just mean remember that 2,000 years ago there was an event. It's sort of right now there's resurrection power. Right now, and I'm going to remember that. Tomorrow when I face a mountain, there's resurrection power. Jesus is raised from the dead. We can move this thing. Always remember that there is resurrection power in the name of Jesus. Never forget that. So many other things that we are to remember. You will forget the shame of your youth. So many people remember their failings and forget that they're all covered by the blood of Jesus. Let's make sure we remember the right way round. You won't be disgraced. You'll forget the shame of your youth. You will not remember the reproach anymore, for your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. I love this passage of scripture. Verse 6, for the Lord has called you. Someone forsaken, grieved, rejected, cast out. The Lord has called you. Called you. Say, the Lord has called me. Today, I could keep reading about the Lord's forsaken, and with the great mercies, he'll gather a little wrath. He hid his face for just a moment, but with everlasting kindness, I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. Today, I want to speak on our glorious high call. Our glorious high call. Called. The Lord has called you. We just read it. The Lord has called me. The Lord has called us. That word calling. God has called us. God has called us corporately. God has called us individually. There is a calling from God upon your life. It's something that is divinely and uniquely ordained within and upon each one of us. It's something that only God can do. Doesn't matter what anybody else says, what has God said? Doesn't matter what anybody else has declared. What has God declared over your life? You have a calling from the Holy One of Israel, from the Lord your Redeemer. It's something that brings fulfillment, satisfaction, and purpose, and passion, and focus. It brings intentionality to our lives. It brings strength on the inside. It grows significance on the inside of our lives. Now, I'm not talking about significance in the sight of people. Not interested in that. I'm talking about significance when you stand before the Lord God, the maker of heaven and earth. That's the significance that I want to think about. That's where I want to get the well done. That's where I want to hear the words, well, I gave you this and you were faithful with it. Come and be made ruler over much. See, calling is absolutely vital. Our glorious high call. And we're going to just think through this morning. What does that mean to me? What do you mean when you talk about glorious high call? Are you talking about being called as an apostle or called as a prophet, called as this, called as that? Well, we're going to understand what the Word of God says about this glorious high call. There is no doubt, whoever you are here today, whether you know Jesus Christ or whether you don't know Jesus Christ, whether you've loved God with all your heart, soul, and strength for as far as you can remember, or whether it's something you're just coming into right now. We've seen so many people come to Christ just finding out that God has said things like, for I know the thoughts I think towards you. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans for good and not of evil. Plans to give you a hope and plans to give you a future. Some people are just finding out about that. Others of us have known about that for decades now. But whoever you are here today, or whether you're yet to discover that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we pray that today is that day. Whoever you are here today, there is a divine calling upon your life. Ordained and declared and qualified by Almighty God Himself. So the first thing that I really need to make very clear today is that we are called by God. We are called by God Himself. This is a supernatural thing. It's something in the Spirit. It's something that God has known about since before He created everything. We read some descriptions and some fantastic titles about Almighty God in that passage. We read that He's the God of the whole earth. I find this fascinating that the God of the whole earth knows little me and knows all about little me. I'm not just another number. And not just another one of however many people have been born on this planet since Adam and Eve. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That God knew me before I was even knit together in my mother's womb. The God of the whole earth is the God of the individual. The God of the whole earth. Omnipotent. All-powerful. He's the God of the whole earth. The Bible says when He created everything, He created the mountains by weighing a grain of sand in His hand. I know our little peanut brain can't get hold of the greatness of God. So we tend to, you know, to sort of stand away from it. You know, I love to hear all these debates between scientists and, you know, faith people. What I'm loving right now is there are a lot of scientists becoming faith people, becoming believers, lots of them. See, because the more you discover in science, the more you realize there has to have been a creative order. There had to have been. There is no way this is an accident. There is no way. I was just thinking about even my mouth the other day and my jaw. That's where my brain goes sometimes. And the power in our jaw to bite is huge. Then if you talk about some other animals, the power in their jaw to bite. And if you're into science and all of that, which I am, you think, how is that how can that ever happen when all of the movement is back here at the pivot? It's not at the end. It's at the pivot. So that's where it operates. It's not there. For there, you can clamp down, but it's there. Absolutely miraculous what God has done. There's no way this stuff evolved. There's a divine order. The God of the whole earth has got a plan. And he's got a plan for your life. And he's got a purpose for your life. The God of the whole earth. We are called by God, and it's not just a little God. It's not just a little insignificant. We're talking about the God of the whole earth. The God for whom all things are possible. The God who knows everything is the Alpha and the Omega. He's already gone before and opened doors which no one can shut. He's already planned your success. He's already planned your victory. He's already planned a way of escape. He's already planned a way for you to come out on top. Because God is the God of the whole earth. And if he has to move the whole earth just for you, he will do it. And if he has to move you for somebody else, he can do that as well. He's the God of the whole earth. We also find here in Isaiah 54 that he's called the Lord your Redeemer. Yes. It's the Lord, the Redeemer, who has called your life. Which means you don't have to qualify yourself for your own calling. Oh. In fact, you can't ever qualify yourself for your own calling. The Redeemer has called you. Which means he has a calling for your life, then he pays a price for you to fulfill it. He's also called in this passage, all in the context of the one who calls you, he's called the captain of the army. So he's the God of the whole earth, he's called you, which means he can align everything for you to live in the fullness of your calling. He's the Redeemer who's called you, which means he's paid the price for this to come to pass. And he's the captain of the army. He's the victorious, the conquering captain of the army, which means he will fight for you to fulfill what God has called you to do. You can't fail. God has called me. God has called you. When the devil wants to come up and lie to you and tell you that you're a nobody and you're a nothing, you can just laugh and say, well, that may be the case. But the Redeemer, the God of all the earth, and the captain of the army has said, my life is called, has significance, has purpose, and I will fulfill that which God has planned for my life. So, we're called by God. And it's important that we respond with faith. I'm called by God. I'm called by God. I love when you read through the New Testament. You find at the start of a lot of Paul's epistles, basically, I know who I am. I'm called by God. Not in an arrogant way. And that's what the generation really has turned to now. You know, I'm this and I'm that. And they're trying to get some self-worth, and it's all about me, me, me. It's not what I'm talking about, because it's no longer I who live. It's Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and died for me and gave himself for me. But my identity in Christ is now my identity. It's not another identity. Well, I had my own identity, then I had my identity in Christ. No, I've only got one identity, who I am in Christ. That's it. That's the one, because it's no longer I who live. Julian Melfi has left the room. And Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, the Redeemer, the captain of the army, is living his life through me. And I'm called by God. And I know I'm called by God. And when the enemy comes in and says, you've missed it, I say, yeah, but I'm called by God. And he's not going to fail. Yeah. Ah, yeah, but you made a mistake. Yeah, but I'm called by God. Ah, but look how much is against you. Yeah, but the captain of the army is fighting for me. Yeah, but you fell. But yeah, but the Redeemer's redeemed me. I'm called by God. Let's all say, I'm called by God. Come on, look at someone and say, I'm called by God. Look at someone and say, I have a holy calling from God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, my Redeemer and the captain of the armies of heaven. I am called by God. Come on, let's give a shout of praise in the house today. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Called by God. Okay, so now we've established that. That's the foundation. What is this first part of this calling that we know we have from God? Well, what is really important, and I could have spent a day on each of these, is this. We are called to the Lord Jesus. We're called to Jesus. You see, a calling has a direction, has a purpose, has a destination. And before we get into anything about purpose and function and skill and all that sort of stuff, we need to know first and foremost that we're called to Jesus. A lot of people want to know what they're called to do without really understanding and knowing who they are called to. We are called to Jesus. Mark chapter 3 verse 13 said this, and Jesus went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. I love the amplified version of this. It says, and he called to him for himself. He called to him for himself. When we don't have a handle on insecurity and pride, we're more interested in what we're called for than who we're called to, because we want a trophy. Look what I did. No, I want to say, look whose I am. Look who called me. Look where I'm called to, not what I'm called for. See, a lot of people ask me, oh, Pastor Jay, I really want to know my calling. And I feel like saying sometimes, how about you spend 5 years just loving Jesus? Just coming to Jesus. Because if you don't have a handle on I'm called to Jesus, then sometimes when we step out in what we think we're called for becomes a snare and a stumbling block. We are called to Jesus. And they came to him. You see, before we get into a functional call, there is first and foremost a relational call. A relational call. I'm not called to a meeting. I'm called to a person. I call a lot of meetings. We need to meet about this. We need to meet about that. And we gather. And we meet, and we make decisions, and we do stuff. But that team would be completely dysfunctional if we, first of all, were not a relational team. Are you with me? You see, people want to know what they're called to do before getting a hold of the fact, I am called to be with Jesus. I'm called to be with him. See, before they were ever sent, they came. I'd even say that about a Sunday service. A Sunday service is not just about, let's just come and do the meeting. It's about, come, let's come and be with Jesus. Let's come and spend time with Jesus. Jesus has called us because he loves us passionately and wants to give us salvation. Now, we receive that when we give our life to Christ. But that's not just a one-time event. He still says, will you come and spend some time with me? Will you come to me? Come to me. Jesus said that a number of times in the Gospels. Come to me. You know, sometimes it was a declaration and an invite, come to me. Other times, he was explaining what would happen when people did come to him. All those who come to me, we'll think about some of these. But come to me, we're called to Jesus because he loves us passionately. He wants us to know his salvation. Jesus wants me, not just wants what I can do. Are you with me today? Jesus wants you. He wants you. He wants you every day. He wants your focus, your attention, your love, your compassion towards him. He wants your whole heart. He wants it on fire. And all of that happens when we're just in relationship with him. We are called to Jesus. See, Jesus is a gatherer. He's not a scatterer. He only scatters people, scatters, wrong word for that. He only sends people when he knows they're with him. He's not a savior who says, get away from me. He's a savior who says, come close to me. When we raised our children, you can do what you want to do, but we just have certain ways we raised our children. And we would never send our children away from our presence. Go to your room. I don't find Heavenly Father ever sends me away from his presence. When I get it wrong, he says, come here. He didn't say, go away. And surely he's the model of fatherhood. Now, there are times when they're going absolutely nuts. We had to sit them down for them to calm down, never in isolation. We used to sit them, you know, go and sit there. It's not a go away, it's sit there. And there was always eye contact. There was always same area. Because that's how God treats us. He never says, get away from me. He's a come to me God. Now, there are times we come to him and he wants to encourage and what, well, and there's other times we come to him and he chastises us. But it's always there in his presence. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Now, there's a great verse in Matthew 22, verse 14. It's a verse that a lot of people quote, but they quote it sort of not understanding really what the parable's saying. It's the parable of the wedding feast. Matthew 22, 14, and I won't read the parable. It just ends up with, for many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. And what they apply that to is many are called, but then God only chooses people he wants. But the parable does not say that. What the parable says is, everybody come. And whoever turns up gets chosen. Who makes the choice on the choosing? The people coming or not? Now, there is one person who comes not dressed for the wedding. And he is not chosen because he comes not dressed right. So our attitude in turning up, whose attitude? Our attitude determines the choosing. Everybody's called, few are chosen. You see, God's only got a few that he chooses. No, if they'd all turned up, they all would have been chosen. It's really clear. In fact, there's one version of the Bible that I read that it says, many are called, but few make the choice. And that's what the parable is saying. Clearly, if you come, you're chosen. Now, I'm not getting into the choosing thing today, but I thought it was important because many are called. Many are called. Now, when they come to Jesus, what happens when we come to Jesus? Well, it's very clear. Jesus said this, whoever comes to me, I will never cast away. Now, I'm not going to get into once saved, always saved, eternal salvation. Can you lose yourself? I'm not getting into all the deep stuff today. I absolutely, absolutely know what the Word of God says about that. But just in our relationship with God, whoever comes to Jesus is never going to be cast away. When we come to Jesus, he's never going to say, go away. Don't want you. And it's in the context, in that passage, of Jesus declaring himself to be the bread of life. So when he says, come to me, what's he saying? Come to me and I'm going to feed you. Come to me and you're going to have a good meal. Come to me and you will be able to eat of the bread of life. He also says so many things. Come to me, and I'll just paraphrase. Come to me and I'll restore you. I'll heal you. Come to me, all who are brokenhearted. Come to me, all who are weary. Come to me. He's not saying come to a program. He's not saying come to a book. Hello? He's not saying come to a prayer meeting. I want you to come to the prayer meeting. But I will always say it as it is in City Gate Church. You can come to a prayer meeting, you can come to a program, you can come to a youth group, you can come to an evening for young adults, you can come to a small group and still not come to Jesus. We've got to be coming to Jesus. And then everything else makes sense. Everything else then becomes what can I give, not can what I, because you can never get from a small group what you need to get from Jesus. You can never get from a program what you need to get from Jesus. Even though we put on the best programs. But the point is, come to Jesus. When we come to Jesus, we're restored. So what's our response? I will come and I will stay close. Can we say that? I will come to Jesus and I will stay close. Okay, so once we know we're called and we know we come to Jesus, what's the next thing that's really important? Well, it's this, we are called to glory. We're called to glory. Today's a bit of a teach. We are called to glory. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who, oh, I love this passage. This sends me every time. This is one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. To those, that's me, who have already got like precious faith, faith of the same value, faith that'll do the same thing with us by the righteousness, my relationship with God, the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace, the empowering grace, and shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. See why I love the passage? You cut me in half, this is it. I love this. Grace and peace be multiplied to you, to us, to me, in our intimate knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord as his divine power, the dunamis, mountain moving, miracle working, dead raising, sick healing, devil kicking, sin conquering power has already given to me, us, all things for the Zoe, abundant life as God has it. Life, no death in it. Light, no darkness in it. Love, no fear in it. God has already given to me all the power through that incredible life. Everything for life and for godliness. And the way God said that to me years ago is to live like God and be like God.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yes. There's a couple of us getting excited about this. Through the knowledge, this is the call to Jesus bit, not knowing about, knowing personally. The knowledge of him who called us, there it is, called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. That's this book, hallelujah. Exceedingly great and precious promises, that through those we are partakers of God's divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Now, I love the amplified version of that. One little bit. We are called, it's the part where it says, as his divine power, where is it called? In verse, it says, through our understanding of him and our relationship with him, who called us by glory and virtue. The Amplified says we are called by and to glory. Yes. By glory and to glory. We are called to glory. This is our victorious call. This incredible call to glory, in the context of that passage, is all about how we live the incredible God life on earth. God in me, my hope of glory. Christ in me, my hope of glory. Not Julian in me. No, he died, hallelujah. But nevertheless, I live. And it's the glory of God on the inside of us. Filled with the Shekinah glory of God, the same glory that shines in the face of Jesus has shone in this earthen vessel. It's in there. You may not be able to see it, but the same glory that shines in the face of Jesus is shining on the inside right now. And that is the life of Almighty God. That is the victory of Almighty God. That's the knowledge of Almighty God. That's the overcoming power of Almighty God. The glory of God, I'm called by glory and to glory. What's the next one? We are called to freedom. Galatians 5:13. For you, Julian. For you, Alan. For you, Ben. For you, whoever you are. For you have been called to liberty, to freedom. Called by the awesome God. Called by the Redeemer. Called by the captain of the army. For you have been called to freedom. Don't use the freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Called to freedom. Called to freedom. We've already heard a little bit about this today in the offering, but we are not under the law. The law was not just a period of time. It was a system. And it was a salvation by works. And I don't just mean the moment of salvation. I mean every aspect of salvation. You want healing, you had to do something. You wanted prosperity, you had to do something. It was the doing that caused the being. That is no longer my testimony. That's no longer your testimony. We are under grace. We are not under law, hallelujah. And I want to really declare this out. Do not bring a works mentality into any part of your salvation. Do not, just to bring it up, what about tithing? Are you saying that if I tithe, tithing is our response now to what God has already done? Never bring works into your salvation. Never pray a works prayer. Pray a grace and faith prayer. Because they are so different. Works prayers do nothing. Grace and faith prayers do everything. Works, a salvation of works is a horrible thing. Because it doesn't work. It never was going to work. Don't bring a works mentality into your forgiveness. Oh, if I do this, then God will forgive me. Don't bring works into healing, prosperity, being a world overcomer. Don't bring works into it anywhere. Make sure that it's a salvation firmly and securely in your mind and in your heart of grace through faith because of love. God is not holding your sins against you anymore. Oh, that means I don't have to repent of them. No, you do have to repent of them because of your love for God. But he's already forgiven you. He's already paid the price. So many things. It is all by grace. Romans 11, I love this. The gifts and his calling are irrevocable. He never withdraws his gifts and his call once they are given. And he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. We do have that on the notes back there, Akeem. He does not change his mind about those he gives his grace or to those who to whom he sends his call. Irrevocable. I love the fact that when God has called, he doesn't change his mind. This really brings me into my last point here today. Wow. Because all that is important before we ever get into function. And that is, we are called for purpose. We're called for purpose. Mark 3, 13 to 15. I've already read the first verse, but it's important we carry on. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted. And they came to him then. Everybody say then. Then he appointed the 12 that they may be with him. We've done that now. We've done the with him bit. Now we'll go and do the for him bit. No, he appoints the 12, and the first part of their calling is very clear. Stay with me. Live with me. Talk to me. Worship with me. Love me. That they may be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses, cast out demons. This is our functional call. This is it. This is our functional call. And we're going to come on to that next week because I haven't finished today. We are called to be with Jesus. Called to be with him. Has he just become a functional God for you? I come to get my healing. No, when you know him, you find out you're already healed. Oh. Now, of course, there's a sense that when we come to him, there are gifts and he gives us and what. But hey, I'm not just coming to get something. I'm coming to be with Jesus. What's a time in the, like we had today, worship time? What's that all about? To get something from him? No, just to be with him. I dare say that if our prayer times just turned into more about, hey, Jesus, I just want to be with you, we'd probably get a lot more done in a much shorter amount of time. A I'm talking about done through prayer. But if we spend an hour speaking to the mountain, but we've not actually been with him, what are we speaking to the mountain with? Bit of positivity, bit of energy. When we spend time with Jesus and turn around to the mountain runs away. And I'm a mountain moving faith, prosperity, health and wealth preacher. God's not a slot machine. He's a person. Be with Jesus. Can I implore us to be with Jesus? Can I ask us to do that as a church, that we be with Jesus? That we put some of our agenda thing aside and just say, Jesus, I just want to be with you. Think you're up on the mountain there. And what do I do when I'm with him? Well, I don't know about you. I've been married 37 years. No, she's gone. She's gone to do all the family stuff and she'll be back at the 11 o'clock. Sometimes we sit there in an evening and we're just with each other. Now, okay, when I come in, Sharon's got a lot to say. And I've got a lot of listening to do. But time together as you grow up in your marriage goes from the things you do. You don't ever lose the do stuff. You with me?
Yeah.
Make sure you keep the do stuff. But we have a relationship. We spend time in each other's presence. I know what she's thinking. She knows what I'm thinking. I know when something's up, something's down, something's round and round. And she knows me. Why? Because we know each other. Oh, can't hear the voice of God. Sometimes you don't even have to hear the voice of God. You just know what God's thinking. Hello? It's what it is to have the mind of God. Oh, God. I'm not hearing God. Well, there are two things in the Bible. You hear God, but you know his thoughts. One's relationship, and one's more, functional, whatever. Wow. This is why we have the Holy Ghost on the inside, and we have the mind of Christ to think the thoughts of God. Should we all stand to our feet here today? I hope you got something out of that. I think for all the stuff we're going to be doing, we better make sure that we're the being in the presence of God, in a relationship with God. Can I hear an amen this morning? Come on, can we lift our hands? And Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this wonderful day today in your presence. Just beautiful. Holy Spirit, we know you're here as our teacher, as our instructor, but you're here not to just fulfill some stuff, but that we know God relationally. Father, we stand here as a church, one part of it. And Lord, we say, yeah, we will come to you to know you. Think your thoughts. Know your promises. Receive from your divine power on the inside of us. Lord Jesus, we hear the call today that we come to you. Not to just get something, but to just be in your presence. And Lord, we know as we stand in your presence, just seeing your glory. In the environment of your spirit, your love, your anointing, your grace, that we're transformed evermore into the image of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we receive that today in Jesus' name. And whatever adjustments we need to make, whatever changes we need to make, we make that decision right now in Jesus' name to come to you. To turn off the TV. Turn off the social media. To make time in our schedule just to be with you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. And right now, with every eye closed and every head bowed, if you are here today, and this is the most important part for some people here in this room, and that is, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Or do you come to a meeting? Or do you come to a service? Or do you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and you come to Jesus? And there are people in this room today who need to come back to God. Perhaps your heart has grown cold, hard, indifferent. You believe it all, but there's no real relationship with Jesus anymore. Or perhaps you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And you know what? We've talked about calling. God's got a plan for your life. The world wants to kill you, but Jesus came to give you life. The Bible says the devil, the thief, and he's very real, comes to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy your life. But you today have a calling from Almighty God. God loves you. Jesus died for you. He paid the price for your sin. Sin's a big deal, but it's been defeated. Jesus took it on the cross. All your thoughts, all your decisions that are not God-honoring, all your actions, all your selfishness and your pride and your arrogance, all the things that you know and I know on the inside, this stuff kills us. It's not good. And then we think, oh, but God might let me into heaven. Friend, you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. And I don't know, perhaps you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Perhaps you've been brought here by a friend. Perhaps you've been seeing us online. Perhaps you've been thinking, well, is it Hinduism? Is it Islam? Is it Buddhism? Is it all the other isms? Or is it the God of all the earth? The creator of heaven and earth. The father of the son who came and died on the cross to give me life. Friend, have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you cannot, with a strength of conviction on the inside, say, I know I'm a Christian. I know God is my Father. I know I have eternal life. Then, friend, you need to respond and give your life to Jesus and be born again. Have a brand new start, which begins at the point of your decision. Coming out of darkness and into light. Jesus said, if you come to me, I'm never going to cast you away. Friend, will you come to Jesus today? With every eye closed and every head bowed, please, if you need to give your life to God for the very first time and say, Jesus, come into my life, make me a brand new person, forgive all my sin, give me a brand new start in life and I'm going to live for you. Or perhaps you need to come and return to Jesus. I'm going to ask you to do something really simply, really easily, but it's not just about an action, it's about an attitude of the heart, as everything is with God. And I'm going to ask you to lift your hand in this auditorium right now, please. Say, yep, I need to come back to God. God bless you. I need to give my life to Jesus. God bless you. Is there anybody else here today? And you know you've got to come back to God. You've got to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Is there anybody else? Online, friend, I'd encourage you to respond right now. Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Is there anybody else here today? Let's all pray this prayer together, especially those that have responded online or here in person. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you that you love me. You sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and be raised from the dead to give me life. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord, my Savior, my friend. I turn away from the way I've lived. And by the help of your grace and your power, I will never be the same again. I receive eternal life in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God some praise in the house today, shall we? Come on, let's celebrate. Hallelujah. Yes, God.